welcome you here today. We're going to have some discussion, but let me introduce some of the guys I get to work with day in and day out. And these guys are servants to you as our church. God has just allowed us to serve you as pastors. And so we have Pastor Mike Millett over here on this side. And Mike and I are good friends. And Mike is our executive pastor at Sungrove. Of course, you would be aware and see Matt Lingo up front, our pastor of worship arts, does a great job and just a good friend. And also Pastor Mark Cook over here, who leads our circle groups and is just doing a fantastic job. And we're just excited about what God would have for us as we have this discussion today. We've worked together enough to know that sometimes we're messy, that there are no perfect people, and sometimes we'll butt heads, but we work together as a good team. But in ministry and life, in our workplace, we bump into people who are hard to love. And today we just want to talk about, how do you love people who are hard to love? And I kind of have two categories when I think about that in my head. One is, there are people who are so diametrically opposed to what we believe as Christians that that belief difference makes them hard to love. The other is that people might be really needy, or they're just very difficult in their personality in terms of ours. And how do we love them? And so I just kind of want to open it up and just say, have you guys found good ways to love messy people?
Well, aren't all people difficult to love? I mean, yeah. If we're honest, right? I'm pretty sure it's not, you know, loving myself, I even think, can be a difficult thing. I think it's just, I don't know. And I don't know if that's just from upbringing, if that's from being super critical of myself, but you know, often this whole idea of how God even works, this idea of grace, we're supposed to love God and love people, it's a tough one. It is not easy.
Can you think of a time when you just interacted with somebody and you were like, oh, like you just had the headache going in, like it's just so difficult to interact with that person. But over time, maybe you began to understand them better and you found some ways to reach to them. What would that experience be like?
You know, we're all created in God's image. And so, you know, everybody, regardless of how difficult or how messy or there's beauty there, right? And I think trying to find that beauty, or trying to find a sense of, I mean, first it's practical. I mean, that's probably a little deep, but first, I mean, it's finding a connection point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's gotta be something that you can connect on. I know for me, in thinking about my own life, you know, obviously I do worship, and so sometimes that's a good connection point, because there's always somebody has a connection with music, you know, for me. But beyond that too, I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, it could be even something as simple as, you know, having a conversation about a sports team, or having a conversation about, you know, something that was talked about in church, or, but just trying to find a connection point that really isn't some, you know, some really deep kind of a, you know, thing, but really is something to just begin the conversation, because, you know, love is actions and living it out. It's not always, you know, something, some big scripted moment or something like that. And so just finding ways to interact and ask questions, I guess, would probably be finding that connection, would be kind of a good start, at least, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great one. I know for me, difficult person to love was a landlord, right? So we were renting a house, and it just seemed like anytime something would break, whatever we'd call it, and we already knew the answer was going to be no. Like we knew it. But we ended up living in this house for almost 10 years, and I just learned, okay, I got to find a way to get through to the landlord, because I can't pay for all this stuff to get fixed. And so what I started doing was beautification projects. So Min and I would go through, say, okay, let's on the side of the yard there, let's do a path. We'll make a path, because it was all just dirt, and said, let's do that. And then we'll take pictures and we'll send it to the landlord. Hey, look, we're trying to improve your house, blah, blah, blah. This is a new project. Hey, there you go. Thanks for letting us live here. And that first time we did that, from that point on, the answer was yes.
Wow.
The answer was yes. So I thought that was that. So yeah, sometimes it just takes that one thing. Right. Anyway, ended up working out great.
I think for me, when I have somebody that I'm having difficulties with, one of the best things to do is to serve them. Mm-hmm. When you're serving somebody, it's hard to have negative feelings towards them, because you know what you're doing, what God commanded you to do, but also it really turns the emphasis off yourself and onto the other person. And I think God is, you know, he said, you know, that when he was talking in Matthew 22 about the commandments, you know, first was love him, but then second was love others. And I find that one of my love languages is serving others.
And sometimes we get in the way. Like sometimes it's not so much them, but it's our stuff. And I remember a time when we had a friend and the friend was stayed really immature and was getting really annoying. And the rest of us were kind of like outgrowing him. And we all started, we were in like early high school, okay? So he was still acting like a junior higher, but we were high schoolers. And we started like shunning him, kind of pushing him out, pushing him away. And finally I thought, man, we just got to pray that this guy grows up. Mm. We just got to pray for him and that he'll grow up. And so we prayed. And as we began to pray, what happened was he didn't grow up at all. Not a bit. He stayed his same crazy personality, wild self, you know. And what happened was I changed. As I started praying for him, what happened was I accepted him for who he was instead of letting my pride get in the way. And I think that happens for us sometimes with people who are difficult. The road of humility is the path. And if we start praying for it, a lot of times we don't want to pray for people. Have you ever not wanted to pray for somebody who maybe their beliefs were totally different than yours and you're like, I'm not praying for that person?
No, I just pray for them, but I pray that bad things happen to them. I'm just kidding. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think even when you feel that way, isn't it even hard just for me to pray? Because when I have that in me against someone, I mean, that's a biblical principle, right? That if he's not going to forgive me until I've done this right and I've done this well. I mean, I'm thinking of people in my mind right now, so thanks for that.
Right, yeah, you're welcome.
Bringing up. Welcome. I'll pray for my enemies. Yeah, all right, I got a list.
And it is. I think in our culture, the church has been unsure how to deal with people who don't believe what the church believes. And I think sometimes Christians have felt like very threatened, like they got to pull back and just be with other Christians and they don't know how to extend love to the world because that person believes something so different than them. How have you guys, a couple of, I'm thinking of you, Matt, you, Mark, who've worked extensively in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. How have you extended love in ways to people who you know, just in their core beliefs, they don't believe anything close to the claims of Christ?
My first manager, when I first hit the workforce, was very antagonistic to Christians. And you know, I would get ridiculed daily when I went in. But I found the best thing to do was, you know, I was only 19 years old in the workplace, and I just put my head down and did my job. And I always showed him respect. You know, he would, you know, and he was always throwing barbs like, you know, hey, you want a 10% raise? Stop tithing. You know, and that, and he knew he was just brutal when it came to Christians. But you know, that only lasted for a period. But I got his respect, and I was able to work with him. You know, but it's hard because they don't give you respect. But when you give them respect, they don't know how to handle it.
And Mark was talking about, I mean, loving your neighbor as yourself, right? So I think about that, and that's, I mean, that's, we know that, we've memorized that, but what I really try to do is just have conversations, remember things about them, and really care about them as people. A lot of times, I mean, I've had many experiences in the workplace where I think they knew that I was a Christian, and so automatically there's that perception that, you know, I'm not going to have a deep conversation because maybe I know where they are spiritually. And so why would I, you know, really ask them deep probing questions about their life? But then trying to, you know, break that barrier and ask about their family, you know, how are your kids doing in school? What's the latest? Oh, you're coaching soccer. You know, how's that going? And really showing that you care. Cause I mean, that's, I mean, the, it's our job to show the love and to, you know, do what we can, and God's gonna, you know, eventually do the rest. Obviously, share the hope that lies within us. It says in Scripture, but we can only do so much.
And sometimes our kids get messy, and I think sometimes as parents we have this like desire to be like, well, I gotta correct my kids' thoughts about that issue, or I gotta correct my kids' behavior because it's, you know, we raise them maybe to follow the Lord or not, and maybe they are or not. And sometimes when there's that belief thing, the temptation for parents sometimes is to keep coming back to the belief difference and wanting to change them. And I don't know that that changing them is the truest form of love.
I had a family that had a really difficult middle schooler. So this is, and difficult for all of us, right? It was just a challenge. And it was because of the fame and the, it was a, it's, how are you going to tell a teenager when they have everything, right? And they have the glory and the fame. And I remember sitting there talking to the dad and just trying to encourage him, going, I know this isn't easy, but the key to connect with your boy is just get alone.
Yeah.
Just go and take him and go do a weekend trip and watch. I think you'll get through. And the way I knew that was because the week before I had taken him surfing.
Yeah.
And all the way there, it was the normal thing. And it's everything within me to just go, be patient. Oh, Lord, please help me be patient. And we get there, we do the thing, we do the surf thing. But on the way back, it was a different kid. Different kid, right? So now we're driving back and he's talking about the difficulties in his life and the pain. It was pretty beautiful. Anyway, they ended up repairing the relationship, and it was a fun turning point. Yeah. So for me, it was time. Get alone, get time. Right. You got to spend time.
Yeah.
I know when we used to work at Camp Look at Hume Lake a lot, and one of my jobs was discipline. But Rebecca and I would sit on the bridge as the buses would come in every week, and we'd pick off people as they came off the bus. They just looked like they had attitude, you know, they were going to be hard to love. And I can't tell you how many times you'd have to crack down on these kids, but you still had to love them. And I remember several times where kids would come up at the end of the week, they were getting ready to take communion. They'd walk up to me and just throw their arms around me. And these were guys that just, I mean, they were there to cause trouble. And you see their lives change.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is just reaching out to them and showing them you care enough to create boundaries, but you still love them.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, yeah, we have boundaries and we've got to communicate God's plan. But I do think that in today's culture, sometimes we want to kind of jump the steps. You know, we want to just like go right to communicating what God's plan is and why this is, you know, the right plan. And especially today in social media, we have this tendency to want to just, it may be somebody we don't even know, we have absolutely no connection with, and we're just lambasting, or, you know, somebody can come out saying what in many ways obviously is truth, but it's not the right format. And I feel like we really need to lean on relationship first, because we really need to, you know, we really need to have encouragement and really that depth to be able to come to that place, to be able to have any kind of conversation, you know, that really is pointing them, you know, towards God's plan or whatever the case may be. But that is a very in-depth process that takes time and relationship building.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we draw lines on issues, when we draw lines, it's not that we're in any way compromising God's word or God's truth. But sometimes we can draw a hard line, and what that does is we're trying to communicate whether it's your local church or a group of believers or your family, you're trying to draw a hard line, but what it communicates is a judgment before love. And what God's pattern always was, when you look at Christ dealing with a woman caught in adultery or in these other areas, it was always love and care for the person, but it came full circle back as God drew them to himself. And he then would reiterate, go and leave your life a sin, or he would go and do, but it was always within the context of relationship and breaking down those barriers. And I like that, because you say we have this tendency to want to just skip steps to get to the end.
Well, yeah, I know that social media is kind of, people look at it that as just a way of venting, and there's no constraint. All these issues in society today that, you know, they hurt your heart, and when you lash out against them, you're putting the issue before the relationship, and it's all about our relationship with these people that brings them to Christ. So, yeah, you can grieve. We grieve in our heart for what's happening in this world, but when you lash out against it, you're creating a barrier that they're not going to hear you.
Right.
So you have to value the relationship more than being right. And for a lot of us guys, we want to be right. You know, it's we want to correct all right. all wrongs, but yeah. it really can block the whole path to a person.
Yes. And nowadays also, don't you agree that it's so much easier than ever before to put somebody in a bucket, right? I can
right.
say, oh, because
right.
I can go to social yeah. media, look at their profile. Oh, you're in this bucket.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't like people in that bucket.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I don't like you.
Right.
Right. And they right. do that to us. They do that to me. They're going to yeah. put me in the, oh, you're a church dude. Oh, you're in that bucket. All right. And they're going to respond that way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think for me, the challenge is constantly going, okay, it's a person. I appreciated what you said in the image of God. Mm-hmm. Well, that works out fine, but it's so difficult to actually do it and to right. not put yeah. them in a spot and even want to fix the thing. Say, I want to fix that part of them.
Yeah.
A foodie, like if I see another picture of a cheeseburger, it's a cheeseburger, right? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to see a picture yeah. of a cheeseburger, but it's all fancy. And okay, you're a foodie. Put you in the foodie
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
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 It's so difficult for me to not do those snap judgments and put people
yeah.
in there.
And I do feel like nowadays too, we really go to polar extremes too, right? With some of these things, whatever it may be, we put somebody in a bucket and we really just close our mind off to really what God could do, you know? And it could be, you know, it could be a coworker, it could be a neighbor, it could be, and you have this, you know, thought about, you know, that neighbor that lives, you know, six houses down or whatever, and just because of maybe, you know, some markers or whatever, but,
right.
But I mean, anything's possible, right? And it takes those small steps. I mean, I remember one time it was like, we would just bring in the trash cans for people that were on our street. Just something simple, you know. They were older, not, you know, super gracious, happy people. Maybe
I don't understand. Tell us more. And what are their names?
Yeah, so, but I mean, it was something that we would do. I mean, did we do it every time? No, but we did. You know, we did every once in a while, and just to try to begin to build a relationship.
You know, that's a great thing because I one thing I've learned from Heather, my wife, is that gifts pave the way oftentimes to relationship. Mm. And she bakes. So like she'll bake up all this stuff. And so for myself or my sons, she all the time will be like, hey, take these over to the neighbors. And she'll kind of be like, take them to this neighbor and this neighbor and this neighbor. And sometimes we're like, really? Do we have to like take the baked goods? But timing, I can't tell you, hundreds of times, it has paved the road to build relationship with people, and they want to reciprocate. You were so nice the first week we moved in that you brought us something, or you know, you baked that stuff and you thought of us. We live in a world where we never think of you or other people, and I just found that I know Mark Batterson says wise men still bring gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sometimes that breaks down our hesitations on the inside. It's this idea that I have to push through the objections of my flesh to get to the things of God's spirit.
Yeah.
And my flesh says, drive into your garage, stick to yourself,
yeah.
reject people who don't believe what you believe. That's our flesh, right? Mm-hmm. It's the natural thing. But I think we have to push through those natural objections of our flesh to actually get to the things that God wants to do in other people. And that's what Jesus, that was so surprising about him. He would do that all the time. And the religious groups would look and go, what are you doing hanging out with those people? They had already put up the objection of the flesh, but he was pushing through those, not compromising his beliefs, but to get to the things of the spirit. I think God always put a difficult kid in the different youth ministry classes that I had. And here's the reason why. I think he did that to keep me humble.
Mm.
If I had the coolest kids, the perfect kids, then I would rarely want to extend out to somebody mm-hmm. who would be very difficult for me to understand or to deal with their health condition. And I just think God sometimes puts people in yeah. our circles that keep us humble. It's for yeah. us more than it is for them in
oh,
many
absolutely.
Contexts. And I'm just thinking is sometimes God just puts difficult people in your workplace, in your circle, even times in our families, because he's working and building the character in us that we need to be people who reflect who Jesus is.